to episode 4 of the Ruffling Meow podcast, hosted by myself, Katanas, and my co-host,
Cantor. Hello.
And in this episode, we've actually got a couple of topics to cover. We'll be talking about the changes to cross-realm raiding in 4.3.2, and how that's affected the community and the rise of things like lookingforraid.com, the Sleepy Hams Mumble server, and Twitterland raiding. And then we'll move on to the second part of the podcast, which is discussing the new changes to the Mists of Pandaria talent trees and the bits and pieces that they've actually changed which are good, or the things they've changed which aren't so good, and the things that still need to be changed, and just a few of the general changes they've done. First of all, what have you been up to in the last couple of weeks then, since the previous podcast? Anything exciting?
Exciting for me, certainly. We were 2 of 8 heroic when we recorded the last podcast. So the week after that, we went up to 4 of 8, and we got Zonos and Ultraxion in the same week, which was exciting. And then we went and killed Sinestra, which was really cool. I love that fight. So yeah, we got 3 fairly significant kills. We're currently working on Hagara heroic and Gunship heroic. So yeah, exciting raid-based things. I haven't had a lot of time to do anything other than raiding, unfortunately. I managed to get into the Valentine's Day stuff a bit late because I'd done all the achievement things in the many years prior to that. And I just about got to the, 270 love tokens that you needed for the bird mount, which I didn't particularly want, but I wanted to just bump my mount number up. So I got to the 270 needed, got to Orgrimmar, and as I was going there, all the things despawned because Lovers in the Air was over. So and my love tokens just vanished out of my bag. And I was like,
one no! In the
it was so frustrating.
Why did you leave it so late?
I don't know. I was busy. Anyway, that was, so that was annoying. But, hey, whatevs.
So how many are you up to now on heroic mode?
4.
4 out of 8.
Working on 5 and 6.
Cool. Well, good for you. Well, I've done a few other bits and pieces. I actually went and looked at the Dark Moon Fair this time and got on the island and went, ooh, this is very pretty. Picked up a couple of the quests and haven't been back again yet. Haven't done any more raiding yet. We decided to take a break. I'm not sure. It was either just before or just after the last podcast. We went in again and we really had to just scrape the bottom of the barrel, getting whoever we could possibly find. And I was texting people to try and get them to come online. Say, oh, come on, just come and do this. And it just wasn't a good night's raiding. So we said, right, that's it. We're going to have a break. We're going to have like a 3-week break. Just chill. We'll recruit some more people. Just unwind everybody. So we've not actually been back into Dragon Soul in about the last 2.5 weeks. We're going to start again on Thursday. Managed to recruit a new person. Got a new feral druid.
Yes, because you asked me to have a look at her gear.
Yep, so if you're listening, since I told you to listen, hello, Elora. And we're still missing a couple of other solid DPS, but hopefully with recruiting a bit more, we'll get some and go back in. And if we can down Zonos and get on to Hagara, we'll be fine. That's all I want at the moment. The only goal is still just to down Zonos. So other than that, not been doing much. I've already got all the achievements and such for Love is in the Air. And I looked at the lovebird and went, 270. No, I really can't be bothered to grind that. So all I did was the daily dungeon to see if I could get the purple-pink love rocket mount instead. Mm. Just because it's so many suggestive things can be made with that mount. Didn't get it. I got about 3 of the masks, 4 of the pets, and one of the forever lovely roses, but no mount. So I'll pick up the Swift Lovebird at some point if I can, if somebody sells it relatively cheap. Other than that, I've been trying the Iron Man challenge as well.
Oh yeah, this is quite an interesting thing actually.
Yeah.
I first saw it a little while ago, and it looks really interesting. What class are you? Did you random your class and race?
I randomed my class to begin with, and I ended up with a Draenei Paladin.
Okay.
Luckily I didn't have to go Horde. And that one I got up to 27 before she died.
Oh.
And that was just due to a lag and then a DC. And I went, no! Oh. No! Reboot! 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 And came back into the grey screen and release. Like, bugger. Oh
Okay, fine. So that one's been deleted, so I randomly rolled another one, and you probably won't believe this, and I know other people who might be listening probably won't believe it as well, given my penchant for Night Elf Druids, but I randomly rolled a Night Elf Druid.
God.
So that's another Druid to level.
Well, I've heard quite a lot of good things about running, doing the Iron Man thing as a Druid, because without being forced into one particular spec, you're actually kind of free to play the Druid in much more of a way that we would have done at level 60,
yeah.
Which was where you were very fluid between your forms, particularly when you were PvPing as Restoration. You're very fluid between what forms you used and healing, and then pulling with Moonfire and things like that. Yeah, it's not really a playstyle that would appeal to me anymore, but it sounded like quite good fun.
As I've not actually tried that out yet on the Druid, but she sat there. I can't remember what server I was on now. But there's a little level 1 Druid sat there called Iron Cat, just waiting. Waiting to go out and see how far I can get her. I think the highest that anybody's had before was 63, I think, before they died.
God.
Actually, for anybody that's not listening, I'd probably give a very brief rundown of what the actual rules of this
yes,
are.
Yes, right. So
it's something that people started a good while ago that Blizzard picked up on recently and put in a blue post. Basically, the rough rules of the Iron Man challenge are you make a character somewhere. That character is only allowed to use white or grey items. You're not allowed to use any magic items at all, so no greens, blues, epics, or anything. No heirlooms. You're only allowed to level through questing and killing. You're not allowed to join battlegrounds, dungeons, anything like that at all. Nothing where you're in a group, where the group can help you kill stuff. You're not allowed to group up with people for doing questing. If you come across a group quest that you can't do, you either skip that quest or you come back to it later when you can kill it better. Or you kill it more easily. You are not allowed to specialize your talents and spend talent points at all. You can use your class-trained abilities as you're leveling, but any gold you want, you have to make yourself. You cannot send it from other characters, you can't get it off other people. If you want gold, you have to quest, grind killing mobs, sell stuff in the auction house, whatever. You're not allowed to level any professions other than first aid, so no herbing and mining and making money that way, unless you happen to be lucky and find stuff in chests. And the major one is it's like a hardcore Diablo 2 character. You die, that's it. Delete the character and start again.
Mm.
So, it's pretty tough. I mean, some people alter things. The character selection, some people pick their character, some people say it has to be randomized. Roll a D10 for race, and then a D6 for class or something like that. I can't remember what it was, D8 for class. But some of those will give you combinations you can't have, like Night Elf Paladin or something like that. So you just re-roll until you do get a combination you can use. That's pretty much it. Other people say, well, you should never go into a dungeon at all. Other people say, well, if you go into a dungeon that's grey, so you're not getting XP from it, then it's okay to do that because you're doing it on your own and you're soloing it to farm it for the gold. And is it any different to actually going out into the world and farming mobs and stuff like that? The key point is, though, you can't get help. So you can't be guilded either, unless it's a level 1 guild. So you don't get bonus XP from that. Again, I think some other people have said you're not allowed to log out in cities or inns, but I think that's something they imposed on themselves to make it more difficult. I don't think that's one of the generally accepted rules. Because otherwise you could level up a bit, wait a few days in an inn and get double XP. But it's tough. And what makes it even tougher, or in some people's eyes even more pointless, is there's no recognition for it at all. There's no achievement or anything. There's no recognition that you actually got to 85 doing this challenge. Just simply, you know you did it.
Yeah, it's a personal thing really, isn't it? But it's quite good fun. And I think the highest few characters that have... they've made it to the highest level so far have been hunters. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, because it's relatively, well, not easy with a hunter, but I gather it is much easier with a hunter simply because you've got something to tank for you.
Yeah, and you've got Feign Death as well, of course.
Yeah, Feign Death. Likewise, rogues, when they get Vanish, I suppose Druids to a certain extent, especially Night Elf ones, cat form, dash, get out of the way, prowl if needed, shadow meld, things like that. But no, it's still not the easiest thing in the world, but it's just an interesting way to make things a bit different. But
anyway,
that's kind of what I've been up to for the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
Terribly exciting.
Right, so that's what we've been up to. Let's carry on and have a little chat about community raiding and what has happened in 4.32.
So there's the crux of this is the fact that in patch 4.3.2, they opened up a cross-realm raiding via Real ID. So as well as being able to go into older instances and such with your mates, you can group up with them and go into older dungeons or looking for raid. The only things you... Sorry, not older dungeons, older raids as well.
Older.
The only things you can't do is normal or heroic Dragon Soul. Anything else is available. Just make your raid group up, invite your Real ID friends, walk into it, and you'll all be bunged in the same instance bit. Which, this was something that seems to have created quite a surge in the online community. And people were talking about it quite excitedly beforehand, on Twitter and on blogs and things like that. But it's really, it's really taken off.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, we've got sites like Twistland Raiding and LFRaid.com, and then Jad Vite has also started a public Mumble server, which can host some crazy number of people, like 1,000 people, and that's called Sleepy Hams, available at sleepyhams.org.
Well, over the last couple of weeks, I caught up with him over Mumble and via email and such and posted up. We had a sort of extended interview, and the compressed version of it is posted up on Resto is Epic at the moment, just giving sort of his thoughts on why he did it and what he expects out of it.
Mm.
And yeah, as you say, a thousand slot Mumble server just basically opened up to the community and said, there you go.
Yeah, it's such a good idea. And yeah, I mean, this is a really cool thing. It will massively increase your friend base. It will really, it sort of helps foster some really good community feel, and it introduces you to more people. I mean, obviously, you're still limited by faction and by Europe, North America, whatever. So, for example, I can't raid with Kat, and I can't raid with some of the druids in the US. But I can raid with anyone Horde side in Europe, which is really cool. I would really like for them to introduce this and like roll it out to normal Dragon Soul as well, or even heroic. But I mean, I don't really see it happening. But it would be quite cool because you could have it so if you're missing like one or two people, then you can just hit up your Real ID friends and go, "Hey, do you want to come to blah?" You know, it would be quite good fun. I don't know how doable that would be, but yeah, interesting. And I think this has really stirred up a lot of community feeling.
Yeah, I mean, it's giving people another forum and such to try and get in touch with other people. But people have been swapping Real IDs and such with other people that they've now been talking to for a while, but have not really done anything with and such. I mean, personally, my Real ID list has, I think, more than doubled since then because of people that I've been chatting to on Twitter and who follow the blog and such, wanting to group up and do things or just chat a bit more and go, well, you know, if we want to group up and do looking for raid or whatever, there we go. How long things will remain as active once people have gone back and done the legendary quest in line in Firelands and got people for that and done achievement runs and mount runs and things, I don't know, but it's going to be, I think, for a certain fairly sizable portion of the community, it's going to be a staple that's probably going to be better received than the likes of LFR and such. And even that, you get together 15 guildies or whatnot, think, oh, well, we really don't want to pug more people. You just troll through your Real ID list. Anybody got an alt that wants to come along? Let's do a looking for raid.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're pugging nobody or just two or three people.
Mm.
Which just makes the run so much better.
Yeah, it's good fun.
So, yeah, it's been a good change, and thank you to everybody out there in the community, such as Saz and Jadissa and anyone else who's actually taken the time, effort, cost, and just put something out there to help everybody else. It's
been great. It's really helped everyone. And, I mean, as I said to Kat earlier, like, I haven't actually done any real ID grouping for raiding because I just haven't had that much time. But I can certainly see a lot of potential in this. And, I mean, my guild, Omen, we do Firelands every Tuesday to get legendary staves and achievements and heroic kills and so on. But for those of us that can't raid on a Tuesday, then this is another thing to help with that, because you can always pull in people from your real ID list and go, hey, I'm going to go and do Firelands achievements. And, yeah, they can come along on alts or mains, and, you know, it's a really good idea, and I think it's probably proved a lot more popular than even Blizzard realized it would do.
Yeah, well, part of what got Jadissa thinking about Sleepy Hams, and something I was quite interested in as well when I read it, was actually a blog post by Signwise on the...
Yeah, I saw this.
Yeah, Play With Your Friends, WoW is the Social Gaming Network, that he posted at the end of January.
End of January.
And basically saying that now WoW has almost evolved into a social network, which happens to have a nice game bolted onto it. And it's true. When you think about it, the most people who are active in the community, if you think about all the representation they have, a lot of them have blogs and run podcasts or guest spots on podcasts or guest spots on other blogs, on Twitter, accessible via email, so many people on Skype, MSN, not counting the actual real official forums themselves, and then you've got things like the WoWhead Forums, MMO Champion, and it's just this vast network, and the game almost itself now is not quite secondary to that, but it's just a convenient way of all these people that you talk to all the time, oh, we can go and game with them now as well. It's it's just quite amazing. It really is a huge network of people, and it's just, I just find it pretty incredible what this has actually sparked off, and as you just said, I don't know if Blizzard realized it would be quite as popular as this. I don't know that
many people did. I mean, like, when I saw it, I thought, oh, you know, that's quite cool. I've got sort of 20 people on Real ID, and yeah, I'll be able to go and do some Old Realm raids with them and things. I didn't think it would foster an entire new community, really powered by Twitter, and then these other sites that have sprung up around it, and foster a whole new community for people that just want to go and raid old content with friends that are on, you know, different servers and so on. Like, I know my brother, who doesn't get to raid so much anymore, he's gone and done old raids, and with like 25 man old raids, just with people off of his real ID list and through Twitter and things like that. You know, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I mean, things like getting together the heroic 25 man mount runs and stuff like that. I mean, certain servers, I know ours especially, or mine especially, it's not got the best raiding community, and even for doing old content. There was a guildie of mine last night who was going and doing 25-man Heroic Ice Crown, and the group failed on Putrescide. It failed on Putrescide to such an extent and so frequently that the entire group just collapsed. I don't know quite how much aggravation there was between people, but they just couldn't get past Heroic Putrescide. Come on. So for things like that, where you're on a realm where there isn't actually that... You can't just go out on a weekend and pug a group to do Heroic Ice Crown for a mount run, or pug Heroic Uldua, or there's just not enough people wanting to do it. Having those people on Real ID list, who you know, and you know at what level they're at and whether they'll be interested, and you know whether or not, if somebody does make a mistake on something like Heroic Putrescide, if they're going to stay around or just go, oh, sod this, I'm not wasting my time. It just makes things so much better. Get together a few guildies, some Real ID peeps, and off you pop. I think it might have a more, not necessarily negative, but more adverse impact on possibly realm communities, but only because it will then create this new community which is above the realm and encompasses all of EU Horde or all of EU Alliance or US Horde or US Alliance, and kind of break down the barriers of the realms, because more and more people will get to know each other. And, oh, well, you know, I ran in a group with you, with some of your guildies. Your guildie seems like a good laugh. Do you want to swap real IDs and things? And suddenly, this network will just expand like that. And
hopefully, it will start, if not removing some of the bad players from the pool. And I don't mean bad players as in players that can't play, but I mean bad players as in trolls and ninjas. You know, the sort of people that lurk in trade chat and things all the time. Mm. And then you end up, you'll no doubt have someone yours as well. You see them in a pug. You go and do a Baradin Hold pug or something, and you see them and you go, oh, God. I remember you from last time. You pulled, you did no healing and no DPS, wiped us, and then complained about the two tanks were useless and rage quit.
And then rolled need on everything when the boss actually died.
Yeah, hopefully when people like that will, if not go away completely, you'll start to see them less because you'll
certainly see them
the people that you know are good to play with.
Yeah, exactly. You certainly won't see them as much. If you're doing something with a group of real ID friends, no one's going to have a friend like that that they actively keep in their real ID and want to raid with. So you certainly won't see them in groups like those are formed across Twitter or something. You know, it's just not going to happen. I mean, maybe on something like the Twitterland raiding, because you can't really veto everyone on there because you don't know anyone sort of personally. At least the first few times.
But even so, though, if you do something like that and you end up with somebody who's emerging like that and is being a...
Yeah,
exactly. Not an idiot, but is being aggressive or abusive, and there's a group of you together and they've said, oh, for sake, you know, don't you know what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. They won't get invited again because everybody will see that they're like that.
Yeah.
And it won't be long before somebody does actually post on the forum and say, look, in the best spirit of anything, if anybody sees so-and-so, don't go.
Yeah,
we've tried it three times and he was just abusive.
Yeah, and they can't escape it either. They can't just go on another character because it's all done by real ID.
It'll be self-regulating like that.
Yeah. Anyway, right, I think that's extolled the virtues of cross-realm raiding quite enough. Mm. Okay, let's get on to the real meat of this podcast. Dun, 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 dun.
A two-hour QQ by Canter about the new talents.
I'm not going to complain too much about these.
You say that
by time. And large, I'm quite happy with them, but let's go through them sort of tier by tier and pick out some highlights. So initially, we have tier 1 of the new Feral Talents, and these are obtained at level 15, and we have Feline Swiftness, Displace Beast, and Wild Charge. So Feline Swiftness is similar to what it has been in its past iterations, but it's just a 15% passive move speed now. But don't worry, for those Feral Druids, Cat Form also provides 15% passive movement speed, so we don't actually lose, we don't get slower in mists. It just means that everyone will be moving at 15% faster.
Yes, as I was saying to you just before we started recording as well, those two changes together especially combined is very good for Resto Druids as well, or any other because of the
movement speed. Yeah, it's kind of good for everyone, really. I mean, especially in terms of PvP, depending on what happens in these talents, Feral's going to lose some maneuverability because at the moment we move 30% faster and we have Wild Charge, whereas we're only going to have one of those things. But seeing as we're going to be moving 15% faster anyway, it kind of opens up the way to pick up Wild Charge as well and then, take the slight hit. But, and it's good for everyone, as you say, because, Shaman can just drop into Ghost Wolf instantly, and they move 40% faster. But at least Feral, or at least any Druid now, if they need to get out of something, they'll be able to go into Cat Form. Or they can hit Dash or Stampeding Roar, and it will instantly drop them into the requisite form, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've definitely really appreciated when I've been playing my Shaman is... you need to get out of the way of something, or you just need to move quickly, or whatever. Reposition yourself as you're running, bam, instant Ghost Wolf, off you pop. Great. And it's the one thing that's not necessarily niggled, but I've always just thought, without trying to sound like, oh, I want everything everybody else has got, Druids is a shape-shifting form. It would be cool if something like that applied to Druids. But you can't always shift into travel form. There's only certain things that you can do it with. I think things like Shannox and such that you could, and a few others, and so it helped like that. But now that you've got the passive movement speed on Cat Form, you can do that as a Druid as well. Just as you're moving, bam, instant shift, get out of the way quicker, that's just great. I mean, combining that with things like Wild Charge and things, you're getting, hopefully, the... If not forcing people to change, you're getting more mobility, and you're also getting more incentive to change. You're getting more incentive to shapeshift reactively to things. Fair enough, you can't cast a spell when you're on the movement, when you're on the move in cat form. But run, instant cast, spell, bam, change into cat form, get out of the way, reposition yourself behind something to block if you have to, like on Morchok, or out of the fire, or into something. If it's a good thing you have to get into, or you have to, you know, like hitting a gong on a Tramides or something, it's... Mm. I can't see the bad in having that option. Even
well,
people don't use it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Feline Swiftness is going to be a really, really strong talent for everyone to take.
I think that'll be the default for a lot of people. If the fight doesn't demand something else, they'll just take Feline Swiftness.
Yeah. And then you've got Wild Charge, which is another incredibly strong ability. So it does something different for each form that you're in. It doesn't matter about your spec. But so and quite interestingly as well, it actually applies to your travel forms as well now. So we have the standard, it's basically Feral Charge. So basically we have Bear Form and Cat Form, they retain the same ability as they do now. When you're in your caster form, it's essentially Intervene for warriors, so you just fly to an ally's position. Moonkin will have essentially Disengage, so they jump backwards. Travel form leaps forwards 20 yards, and in aquatic form it increases your swim speed by an additional 200% for 5 seconds, which means you're just going to be going insanely quickly when you're swimming.
The other thing that's very important about this as well, for what it actually does, and when you look at it quite how powerful it is when you notice that it actually only has a 15 second cooldown,
yeah. Now, this is probably because it's no longer tied to Stampede. Like, Feral seems to have lost that ability entirely. When Wild Charge was on Tier 4, which it was in the previous iteration of these talents, it still had that Stampede effect tied to it, and it did other things as well. So, if I remember rightly, if you used Wild Charge while you were in your non-shapeshifted form, you got a free heal. Bear form, you got the Haste. Cat form, you got the Ravage. Moonkin form gained energy. Like lunar or solar power. But that doesn't happen anymore. So it's not a DPS ability anymore. It's just a movement cooldown. And it does only have a 15-second cooldown, which is really, really strong.
Yeah. The last one, Displacer Beast, is a bit unusual. It's toned down an awful lot from how it was. Yep. It doesn't say anything now about purging dots and bleeds and so on. But it's also straightforwards and not random.
Yes.
But the activation of Cat Form and Prowl, it's, since there's nothing in there about combat, it would appear that it is a properly combined blink and vanish.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't say can't be used in combat.
We're not really sure about this one. So, at the moment, Displacer Beast is looking like the weakest of the talents on this tier, because it's a 3-minute cooldown, and it blinks you forward 20 yards, and activates Cat Form and Prowl. We don't know if it drops combat. I'm assuming it does. But yeah, so it blinks you forward 20 yards and drops, like, puts you into Prowl. However, it doesn't have that dot wipe component that it had previously. So it's become weaker. And I don't know if it really warrants that 3-minute cooldown anymore. Certainly, I don't think it competes with Swiftness and Charge.
No, it'll depend how it goes. It could end up being a PvP one. I mean, I can see things like Twin Peaks and Warsong Gulch, especially being changed a lot by these. I mean, a druid, for say a flag carrier, a cat druid, with Feline Swiftness, or Travel Form with Feline Swiftness, or even just Wild Charge, and every 15 seconds being able to leap forward 20 yards in Travel Form.
Yeah.
Anything like that, I can see them being quite useful in PvP, but certainly for PvE, Feline Swiftness or Wild Charge, I think, is going to be the one to have. I mean, non-shapeshifted. The one thing that it doesn't say, which I would be interested to find out, is there isn't actually anything in here for Tree of Life Form.
No.
That'll be, I imagine, because not every single Resto Druid will now have Tree of Life, theoretically.
Yep.
I think that's possibly going to be rubbish, but we'll get to that when we get to the fourth tier of talents.
Yeah, well, I imagine Tree of Life
is
going... I imagine Tree of Life is going to activate, like, your non-shapeshifted form.
Yes, I would imagine that.
Be my guess.
It's just there was a previous one, the previous incarnation of this ability, if you'll pardon the pun, was that it also flew to a point and I think healed your target for 50% extra or something like that. It did something else when you were non-shapeshifted, because it was generally assumed that if you are non-shapeshifted, then you were probably going to be a healer.
Yeah, so they basically removed that now, because they couldn't have Wild Charge, which would have acted as sort of a semi-DPS ability, competing with these, or healing ability, competing with these two movement talents. Now, I don't really think, in terms of Tier 1 being the pure movement thing, I don't think Displacer Beast really belongs there. It's more of a survivability thing.
Yeah.
But we'll get onto that when I'm getting onto my sort of what should change in these trees. So Tier 2, obtained level 30, is like the healing survivability tier. So we have Nature Swiftness, which has gone through not a significant change, but it's now a 1-minute cooldown down from a 2-minute cooldown, which is wicked.
And it no longer affects Mass Entanglement either.
Yeah. Well, it does, but Mass Entanglement is now instant cast.
Yeah, it's not an immediate, hang on a minute, where's that gone? Because Mass Entanglement itself now doesn't have
exactly cast
time.
So, Nature Swiftness, it lets you use any of your crowd control abilities, so Cyclone, Roots, Hibernate, and your heals, so Healing Touch, Nourish, Rebirth, and Regrowth. They all become instant, free, and castable in any form. So as a cat, you can Cyclone someone, and also the healing and duration of the spell is increased by 50%. So you can throw out an 8-second Cyclone in PvP or 9 seconds in PvE, and there's nothing that anyone can do about it. And you can do that every minute. So at the moment, it's looking incredibly strong. And that looks like it's going to be the default choice for a PvP-er.
The other thing with Nature Swiftness as well is the 1-minute cooldown and the Healing Touch can be very useful as well as, well, will be very useful as a resto druid especially, because the increased healing by 50%, especially if we still have the glyph that lowers the cooldown on Nature's Swiftness by casting Healing Touch by 10 seconds, because if you do that, then you can almost work in a rotation, especially if you're trying to tank heal or anybody else taking heavy damage. You actually get almost a viable rotation of every 5 healing touches and mixing in other things. You basically get your free one, or sorry, not free one, but you get your instant cast, and it's even bigger. Which, if you time it right with other things, especially just briefly touching on things like the possibility of Dream and Cenarius at the bottom, increasing it by 30%. If they stack, and you can basically prime, if you know that your tank's going to take a massive hit every 30 seconds or something like that, if you can prime a Healing Touch with Dream of Cenarius, Nature Swiftness it as well, so it ends up getting buffed or by that, especially if it crits as well or anything else, there's a lot of possibilities there for making them work together.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that has been raised, though, is the regrowth and the duration of the spell.
Yeah.
Are they going to increase all of, say, regrowth, seeing as it's an odd spell in that it's a direct heal and then a hot? Is it going to increase everything? So will a Nature Swiftness regrowth become instant? The direct heal heals for 50%. The hot then lasts 12 seconds, and all of the healing done by the hot is increased by 50% as well. In which case, a Nature Swiftness regrowth actually becomes quite nice, especially as it's free as well.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I don't know your point about the Glyph of Nature Swiftness. I don't know that that's going to stick around. With a 1-minute cooldown, it's unlikely that they'll have something that reduces it by 10 seconds every time you use an ability.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see.
They might reduce it to five seconds, for example.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to change with glyphs at all at the moment. Remember that Blizzard have said they're likely going to look at quite a big glyph change. They're probably going to remove the prime glyphs entirely, because those are often, they aren't a choice. They're just, oh, this is plus 5% damage, I'll take that. So it looks like major glyphs are going to become a lot more.
I think they were talking about actually removing one of the tiers of glyphs entirely.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like we're going to go back to the sort of more Roth era thing, where you just had majors and minors, rather than prime, major, minor.
But at the moment, it's a possibility. We'll just have to see how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. So, other than that, on this tier we have Renewal and Scenario Ward, neither of which have changed at all. They are what they are. I think Scenario Ward's likely to be your default PvE choice, certainly for Heroic Mode, because it just means you can throw out a heal on anyone else, just stick one on your tank while you're DPSing. Or, well, that's for DPS, that is. For tanks, renewal is likely to be your sort of default, your go-to choice, because it's a 30% heal on a 2-minute cooldown, which is rather nice.
The other thing with Cenarion Ward is they're usable in all shapeshift forms and such, lasting 30 seconds, with a 30-second cooldown, is will it become like a temporary bone shield? Because the other thing is still the value for the healing, 4,015 every 2 seconds for 6 seconds, does look a little low.
Yeah. So we don't know how that's going to scale at all now.
We have no idea how it'll scale, what it'll scale with. If they're driving more towards allowing things like, for example here, say Feral and Bears, who don't actually have mana that they use. I mean, you could expend 100% of your mana and it make no difference to you really as a Feral because you've got energy. So with things like that and agility, are they going to make things scale by default with certain things? Will we get a passive ability that changes something?
Well,
or is it going to be weak?
No, we do have a passive ability, and I guess you haven't seen this yet. Feral and Guardian Druids get, at level 14, they get an ability called Feral... not Feral Instinct, that's wrong. It's Nurturing Instinct, yeah. So it's similar to the current ability. Level 34, and it increases your nature spell power by 100% of your agility. So basically and then Balance and Restoration Druids get something called Killer Instinct at level 34, which increases your agility by 100% of your spell power.
Yes, I remember that. I'd slip mind.
That's reasonably useful. And that's really going to help buff up Cenarion Ward, which is, as you say, a fixed heal.
Yeah, again, I mean, something like that could be useful, depending on the circumstances. You're expecting big hit, you're expecting a flurry of blows as a tank or whatever. You pop that, and you get an extra little bit of healing yourself. As you say, renewal as a standard thing, being able to just heal 30% of your maximum health is great.
Yeah.
Especially since it's not tied to the same sort of downside as disentanglement, in that, I'm going to have to shapeshift out of bear form to heal myself as a tank, or anything like
that.
Yeah.
We're going to get onto disentanglement in a bit, because I've got quite a few issues with that whole tier. But
the only thing with renewal is still what I've said in the past. It just still seemed a bit too...
boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Cenarion Ward, I'm liking the look of. Mm. It depends what it's going to be. It's almost working sort of like an Earth Shield type thing, casting on somebody, or a Healing Thorns, or that kind of a thing, which is nice.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, right. So that tier's looking fairly solid. As you say, yes, it is a bit like a bone shield, where high avoidance is going to work well with Cenarion Ward, because it just means the heal stays on you for longer. Like, all the potential for the heal stays on you for longer. It's basically like Living Seed. It's like embedding Living Seed into your target.
Yeah.
And it only heals them when they get hit.
Only once and for 6 seconds.
Yes. Right, so level 45, tier 3. This is the sort of crowd control-y type tier, or one of the crowd control-y type tiers. So we have Fairy Swarm, which allows your Fairy Fire to put a 50% slow on your target for 15 seconds, and there's no cooldown listed, although we have found out from a blue post that Bear and Cat Form Fairy Fires are still going to have that 6-second cooldown. So, however, this gives Balance and Restoration a spammable 50% snare, which is incredibly strong, and it's ranged as well, of course. So that's really, really good. Then we have Mass Entanglement, which is what we mentioned a few minutes ago, and that's an AoE route on 5 targets. It's instant cast, and it's usable in any form. It has a 30-yard range and a 2-minute cooldown. So I think that cooldown might be a little bit long.
Well, it depends when you actually look at what it does versus the old one. Instead of now having to place it, which takes time and such, now you just cast it on a target without having to place it. Yeah, so it's now instant cast and on a target, so you can cast it as you're running.
Yeah.
And the roots also last for 20 seconds. It used to only be 8.
Yeah, so that's quite nice. I mean,
and also in any form, so you can pop cat, run away, and root whatever's chasing you.
I mean, obviously, it's still only going to be 8 seconds in PvP, but for PvE, yeah, you can root a whole group with no targeting reticule. You just have to target a mob, and you instantly take 5 of them out of the equation, which is quite nice. And then we have Typhoon as well on that tier, again, which hasn't changed from the previous iteration. 20-second cooldown, and knockback, daze, very useful. I think that I'm genuinely struggling to think what I would take in that tier. For PvP. For PvE, I'd say probably Typhoon, just because it offers kind of the most utility. It really, that whole tier is going to be probably one of the most fight dependent.
Yeah, Typhoon, well, they all have situational uses. I don't think there'd be any that I would default to. I would be changing those probably on a fight by fight basis, or just not using one of them because the fight didn't need it.
Yeah, so we now get on to tier 4, which is quite an exciting tier. Well, exciting.
This is the one that I've got a problem with.
Yeah. So we have... I'm going to go from right to left here. We've got Force of Nature, which we still don't know anything about. It summons 3 druids, and it just says it aids in your current combat role. So I'm imagining that Feral Treants are going to be the ones that we know today, and they're just going to run up and hit your target. I'd imagine the balance ones and the restoration ones will alternately sort of spam Wrath and Moonfire and Sow the Beam or whatever, Sunfire, on your target, and the restoration ones will likely just throw out some heals.
Yeah, that's where part of the problem comes in. And one thing I would say would be very nice is if the Treants actually appeared as mini versions of yourself rather than just as complete Treants, because then you can run around with a little pack of kittens or little baby moonkins. That would look so much better.
That would look cool.
But as one person said, I can't remember exactly which one it was now, but as one of my fellow Resto Druids said in their blog, the problem with this is if you're attacking a boss and you are a DPSer and you spawn these, they attack the boss. Woot. Not hard. However, they do have similar problems to other pets, which is they're fucking stupid.
Yeah, it depends.
Will you end up with a healing one spawning? And you go, no. Don't put Rejuvenation on the tank at 100% health. Put it on the melee at 10% health next to him. If you have no control over them.
Yeah, it really depends on, you know, whether... Well, it depends what they're going to do. If they're going to be smart and they will heal low health targets and they ignore pets, because that's going to be an annoyance if they just spam that they waste their whole time healing hunter pets and warlock pets and things. If they smart heal low health targets... Great, that's going to be much better.
Yeah, we need to know more about how they're going to work.
Yeah, we really don't know anything about them at the moment. Are they going to cast particular spells?
Are they going to, for example, cast a Nourish-type spell? Or are they going to have something unique? Are they going to have something special to them? Which is unlikely, but, you know, when you have 3 of them, is it going to be anything like a weak AoE spell? Would it be almost a mini version of Wild Growth or anything? Or is it going to be a single target, low heal?
You know, we don't know if one of them is going to spam Rejuvenations on the raid and the other's going to channel a mini Tranquility and the other's going to nourish everything. We just don't know enough about that talent at the moment.
Are they just going to become situational enough that you say, well, we know that they do a decent bit of single target healing and all 3 of them heal the same target. Right, okay, it basically becomes a tank cooldown.
Yeah, again, and we don't know anything about the Guardian version of it. So moving on, we've got Incarnation, which, again, hasn't changed. I'm a little bit unsure about this one. I think it will shine on bursty type fights like Heroic Spine, where you need a mega DPS cooldown and you need to push out as much damage as you can. So, like, for example, for King of the Jungle, the Feral version, it lets you use all of your stealth abilities. All 2 of them. It lets you use all your stealth abilities.
Try to contain your enthusiasm.
Yeah, in combat. And it lets you use Prowl while in combat as well. So, we don't know if we can combine this with Berserk at the moment. If we can, great, we can spam 30 energy ravages. That would be cool, but yeah, as I say, we just don't know. It's going to be a useful burst to DPS cooldown, but I think the Feral Stealth Toolkit is woefully underdeveloped for this to be really that useful. It's essentially Shadow Dance. But rogues have so very many more abilities that they can use in stealth than Feral does. We have Pounce, which is, a stun, but it's a damn weak bleed. And we have Ravage, which costs 60 energy, so you're never going to be able to spam it. It means, you know, you're hardly going to be able to whack out a shed load of Ravages unless, as I say, you combine it with Berserk. So a strong burst DPS cooldown, but personally, I'm not feeling it. For Guardians, it lets you... It reduces the cooldown all your melee abilities and growl to 1.5 seconds. So again, it's essentially... Well, it's basically Berserk. It lets you spam Mangle every 1.5 seconds on only 1 target, not 3 targets, like Berserk. But that's really good because it's going to... Well, it's going to be a massive rage generator for druids, or for ferals at least, and we're going to need that for keeping things like Savage Defense and Frenzied Regeneration up, which are going to be really, really big. Well, they're going to eat into our rage an awful lot.
The problem I've got with this talent is, as a resto druid, we don't have a shapeshifting form except Tree of Life, which we already have as an ability on cooldown. Boomkins switch into their Moonkin form, Ferals switch into Cat form, Guardians will switch into Bear form, Resto Druids stay in their Elf form, and actually already have a cooldown for this. So all this basically does is you have to take this ability to be at the same position you are now. Looking at the other two abilities, and when we get onto Soul of the Forest as well, neither one of those seems to be good enough to outweigh losing that cooldown. And ignoring the increased armor that you get, and ignoring Wrath and Entangling Roots, and just getting it down to the healing side of things, increasing your output by 15%, and getting the increased wild growth, and the instant cast regrowth, and being able to spam Life Bloom for once, or again, instead of only having it on a single target. I can't see the other two outweighing that, but it is somewhat annoying that the other specs get something that buffs theirs more than it currently is, and Resto basically gets what we currently have. I would much rather see something similar where we had a more permanent Tree of Life form, either one that was considerably weaker than this, but just did something small like the old Healing Aura, or Tree of Life form would allow you to roll Life Bloom on two targets, or something like that. Even if it lasted, I don't know, 20 seconds and was on a minute cooldown, or something like that, but wasn't too powerful. But this then buffed it, so that for the, you know, once every 3 minutes, you could pop a big Tree of Life form, as opposed to a smaller one, or as opposed to a weaker one. And it actually just buffed your current form. I don't like the idea of having to choose one of the other ones at all and being stuck without a shapeshifting form at all as a resto druid.
Yeah, it's a bit of a, well, crappy thing.
Yeah.
And it's quite annoying, but like, I don't think Blizzard are going to be giving back a permanent Tree of Life. They seem quite happy with restoration druids being the ones that, you know, they get to see their armor, they get to use other abilities and things like that.
Yeah, it'd be quite nice, though, if they had, say, this for Tree of Life, which was, this is a flat thing. I mean, this increases single target healing, it increases AoE healing, it increases your overall healing done. That'd be great. It would be nice if they had some different option depending on what you went. So you could switch into Tree of Life form, which possibly slightly weakened AoE spells but buffed single target, or vice versa, and your AoEs were buffed and your single targets were weaker, so that, you know, maybe a more tank healing druid was switching into Tree of Life form, and the other one was staying as caster, or vice versa, but making it fluid so that, so like, right, quick, heavy tank damage phase, right, switch into Tree of Life briefly, bam, 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 oh, back into the AoE phase, back into caster form, right, oh, everybody's taking massive damage now, right, pop incarnation, rather than just standing there as a caster, casting like that without, it's something to do with the druid thing. I like being able to shapeshift, and I like Tree of Life, and having something that was, I say, made you react to things by either switching in or out of Tree of Life form, and then use an incarnation to get a buffed one for those times when you really need the cooldown, rather than just getting what we get now, but as a talent here, without anything exciting.
Yeah. I think Restoration Druids have probably got the biggest issue with incarnation.
Because, I mean, really, looking at the other two, there's probably going to be very few times, unless they manage to make Force of Nature completely awesome, there's going to be very few times any Resto Druid is going to give up this, what's basically a solid, controllable cooldown.
Yeah, that's the issue, is that basically Soul of the Forest, which I'm going to talk about now, is it's a very boring but quite strong passive ability. So for Feral, your finishing moves give you 2 energy per combo point. So essentially you get 10 energy back every time you use a finishing move. Guardians get 2 more rage from Mangle. Meh, could be useful. We don't really know yet. Restoration gets 50% haste when you Swift Mend. So if you're in a fight where you aren't, where it's kind of the same amount of damage going through, or there's no big burst phase or something like that, in Soul of the Forest, probably going to be your go-to talent. I think it could do with being stronger, I think we could buff up the Feral one at least to 4 energy gained per combo point, and the Guardian one to 4 rage gained per mangle. Something that is quite significant, so you'll actually notice it, because at the moment, you know, you get 10 energy back per second anyway, so that 10 energy regain is not that significant. Whereas if it was a 20 energy regain, well, that's brilliant. You're essentially ripping for 10 energy, you know. So that's meh. Soul of the Forest, as I say, is probably going to be your go-to choice for a kind of basic fight. Like Heroic Morshock is basically the same thing throughout. Whereas something like Incarnation would come into its own for Heroic Xonos or Heroic Ultraxian, where there's a phase that you need to spam your ass off for healing. Again, we don't really know about Force of Nature yet, so I can't say where that would be good.
With Soul of the Forest for Resto, it's again a bit meh. The way it's worded, it's that you gain 50% haste, specifically, not casting time. So it should buff HOTS and give them extra ticks. It's okay to have one hasted ability like that every 15 seconds, again, assuming they don't change Swiftmend. If they look at Swiftmend and go, oh, well, this efflorescence is procking off Swiftmend, and we're going to buff efflorescence, maybe, or you've got this, which is also going to proc off Swiftmend, maybe Swiftmend should be 20-second cooldown, or perhaps a bit longer. I mean, we don't know if they're going to change that at all. But even so, I mean, at the moment, the way the spells are, 50% haste is okay, and you're going to get a bit of increased output. But again, compared to Incarnation, it's not brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, for the duration of Incarnation, you're only going to get 2 or 3 if you do it bang on. Buffed spells from this. Yes, you're going to get those possibly every 15 seconds, assuming you keep Swiftmend on cooldown, which most of the time you will be. It's not great. It's not what you would expect, I don't think, from this level. And looking at what the others have the potential to be, 50% haste on the next spell just isn't brilliant.
Yeah.
That's the only way to put it. I mean, yes, in certain circumstances, I can see it being useful. Things like, again, heavy AoE phases. Everybody stacks in, say, on Xonos. Swiftmend, tank, bam, prox efflorescence, throw out a wild growth. Wild growth's got 50% extra haste, runs its duration faster, or same with Tranquility.
Yeah, even Tranquility, I was going to say.
Get everybody up there faster. Yeah, that's okay then. But it's got the potential, I think, to work well with other combinations, as I said, with the likes of Nature's Swiftness and stuff. If you use various other things to buff a spell first and things like that, or you prime things, then yes, you can increase it and make it better. But I still think 95% of the time or more, unless a specific fight requires it, everybody's just going to take Incarnation. Because I don't know any Resto Druid that would willingly want to give up their only shapeshift form and one of their most powerful cooldowns.
Yeah, I think the, at least for Feral, probably the Incarnation is going to be like your go-to ability if you haven't really researched a fight. Or if you're just going, this talent looks cool, this talent looks cool, this one looks cool, Incarnation is going to be the one that you go to.
So what you're saying is you're going to be watching any other Ferals in your raid and see if they take Incarnation on any fight. You've not researched, have you, scrub?
Yeah, pretty
You've
much.
Not got the same talent as me.
Yeah, well, I think Soul of the Forest will be stronger in the majority of fights. If there's a burn phase, Incarnation is going to be your ability. Anyway, level 75. This tier has gone through a couple of changes. Disorientating Roar, that hasn't changed apart from the fact that it's now usable in all forms. It doesn't shift you into bear form anymore, which is quite nice.
Yeah, this is one of the very good things about lots of talents, is they've removed an awful lot of the forces you into bear, forces you into aquatic form or whatever.
Yeah, so essentially this becomes like the old engineering bombs, where they will sort of do an AoE gouge on all the targets around. So it's a 10-yard AoE gouge, basically, for 4 seconds. Quite nice, no cost, 30-second cooldown. Good little control ability. Ertl's Vortex is probably the one that went through the biggest change, and this is a really nice ability. Rather than forcing you into bear form and pulling everything toward you, it uses a targeting reticule. So it conjures a vortex of wind at the destination location. So this is really, really going to be strong for a lot of different players. And it pulls enemies within 15 yards towards it.
That's a bit of a downside. If you think about it, 15 yards isn't that big.
It's not that big.
You've only got a 30-yard radius circle of effect.
Yeah. However, that's going to be... I think it's going to be still quite strong. We don't know how long it lasts and whether, you know, if it only pulls you in once and then you're sort of free to go, or if it keeps spamming it, which would make it horribly overpowered.
Yes, if it pulsed every couple of seconds, then unless you've got something like Blink or similar to get out of it, you're going to start running and just get dragged straight back.
Yeah. So, as I say, we don't really know too much about it yet, but it's quite a strong ability, particularly, again, for PvP, especially for Moonkin and Restoration Druids. You can stick it just behind a melee class and give yourself a couple more seconds, especially combined with Typhoon. That's going to be quite nice. And then we've got Mighty Bash, which is basically Bash as we know it now. So Bash is being taken away from Bear Form, and this is a 50-second cooldown, 5-second stun, but it's usable in all forms, and it's free again. So pretty cool. It kind of gives Cat Form a controllable stun that you don't have to waste combo points on. I mean, Cat has never been swimming in combo points like Rogues are, and our energy regain is... limited a lot more than that of a Rogue. I mean, we're balanced around that, it's fine. But it is a rather limiting factor when you want to use things like MAME or your utility abilities. So this Bash is really quite a nice ability for that. I don't know which is going to be the stronger. Bash is certainly very good for one-on-one, but for your kind of your multi-target fights where you're trying to control a group or you're trying to peel something off your healer, whatever, then Vortex or Roar are certainly going to be stronger in that case.
Yeah, I mean, from a resto point of view, they're all a little bit odd in that they're all situational utility talents. Sometimes, I mean, things like disorientating Roar, and the same as with things like Feral Swarm, dazing people, disorientating them, stunning them, immobilizing them, rooting them, whatever. They're all escape mechanisms or similar. Or you've got ads pouring into something and there's a bit of a panic. Somebody's not quite sure who's picking them up or they're in the wrong place or whatever. Just gives you those extra few seconds. Same with the Vortex. Again, if you can see there's going to be a problem, dump a Vortex. Pick up something, give your tank a few more seconds to react. Or if the tank's about to have ads incoming and they're low on health, give them a few more seconds. You do that, give the other healer more time to get them up. Mighty Bash, and sometimes it's going to be useful to be able to interrupt like that. I mean, you are going to have to be in melee range to do so, but again, there's plenty of fights where ads are casting something that needs to be interrupted, or where it's helpful to interrupt them, just a little bit less damage incoming. And using the time and the GCD to bash something is actually much more effective use of your time than allowing the spell to go through and then using two or three to heal up the damage it causes. So it's really going to be dependent on the fight and what your role is in the fight. And again, if you're going to end up being at the point where you're just on the edge of being able to do the fight and you're spamming healing and you're not actually going to have time to maybe use these, especially if the fight isn't hinging on correct use of these sort of mechanics. So they're interesting, but we're just going to have to wait and see what the fights are like.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you're ready for a bit of a name drop. I was talking to Ariel and Lissana on Twitter, and we did kind of think that maybe there's a little bit too much crowd control in the druid trees, because we've got two tiers that are sort of pure crowd control. So I don't know if they... I really like those tiers. I just don't know how useful they're going to be in a raid encounter. Like, if there are enough raid encounters where you have to kite something or you have to control a group of ads, you know, maybe even if it's just like three in a 7 or 8 boss instance, then it's going to make those two tiers much, much more useful than they would be in current tiers.
Yeah, especially as you potentially you are going to have druids who can potentially be in any role, as they are now, either tank, melee, DPS, healer, or ranged. Being able to say, right, well, we've got two druids, one's a tank, one's a resto druid, okay, well, you know, we've got this coming up, so that and that would be useful on the resto druid, and that on the tank druid and such. It's useful to have that potential utility, but we don't want it to come at the expense of other things that would be possibly more helpful actually in the primary role, yes. Either increasing DPS or healing output or making it harder to kill you or whatever. We just have to, again, see how the actual fights, see what they're like, see how the mechanics work. And it could be that it ends up being due to these talent, these particular tiers of talents, if they stay roughly the same as this, it could be that, you know, any raid that's anybody has at least 20% of their raid has been druids. Otherwise, you're going to fail. Or it makes it so much easier.
Yeah. Anyway, we don't really know what the raid fights are going to be like yet. It kind of remains to be seen when we get into the Mists beta, and I will be giving essays of feedback on these talents. Anyway, that brings us on to the level 90 tier, which is the one I've got the biggest problem with.
Same here.
Yeah, right. So basically every druid I've spoken to dislikes this tier at the moment. So we have Heart of the Wild, again, unchanged. It just makes you better at your other roles. But critically, it doesn't actually give you the abilities to fulfill those roles. So if you're, I don't know, feral, and for some absurd reason you decide you are going to need to cast spells, maybe because the boss has flown into the air or it's unreachable by anyone that can't cast spells, then you pop Heart of the Wild and you're just sat there spamming Wrath for 45 seconds. Like, you don't gain Starfire and things like that. So, and as like as a balanced druid, you don't gain Mangle when you use it and go into cat form. So you're just using Claw. You know, you don't even gain Shred or anything like that. So you're just using Claw and Ferocious Bite. It's ridiculous. It's a stupid talent. The only reason I could see it being used is as a clutch heal. So you pop it and use Tranquility. Or as a clutch tank roll. So, and that would only really be for DPS, because you're not going to want to take a healer away. So if your tank dies at the last like 5%, you pop Heart of the Wild and go Hero Bear. But I really don't like that talent at all. It makes us better at a role that we have specifically specced not to fulfill, which is really the case with all of these talents at tier 6, and it's why I think this whole tier needs to be nuked.
There's only one instance I can think of this always being used in the last few raid tiers, and right. One where it could be used at times in general. And the specific one is Chimeron, where you get to 20% and that's it, you can't heal. So it's a 20% burn. Yeah, fine, okay. Restoration one, 50% of intellect is agility, 100% of spirit is hit rating and expertise.
Yeah.
Damage spells cost no mana. Right, okay. Just spam Wrath, if necessary, pop Tree of Life or whatever. If you've not already used it, just spam Wrath as much as you can.
Yeah, that's it. Like, even in that case, it's only useful for restoration. Like,
yeah. You know, well, I mean, that's one particular fight. And again, the only other one would be if you've got, for either healer or non-healer versions, is either if you've down to those last few percent and there's not that much damage coming out, you've almost got your Sash down and he's summoning his last bunch of slimes and you've made the decision, nuke him, ignore the slimes, just nuke him. That sort of a thing. Get him down. Or likewise, the other way, nearly there, but we're almost on the edge of wiping. Quick, switch to healing, pop something out. But you do this anyway.
Yeah.
If you're there and you've got your Sage and he's not outputting because he's summoning slimes, you're going to do that anyway. You're going to sat in there and spam Wrath. Likewise, any other druid worth their salt, whether they're balance or feral or whatever, if they see that there's AoE damage about to wipe the raid and their DPS is not essential at this moment, they pop Tranquility.
Yep.
Or whatever. They do it anyway. This might make it slightly better.
Yeah,
but
so,
as you say, it's a tier 6 talent. It should be better than this.
Yeah, it needs... Well, I think even if they go through and they try to make this better, it's still going to be an ability that makes us... that forces us out of our actual combat role, which no one wants to do. Like, no other class has got an ability that goes, oh, all right, Shaman... we're going to make your healing spells really, really good if you're elemental or enhancement.
I was actually going to say that's possibly not the best comparison to draw at the moment. Have you had a look at the level 6 Shaman talents?
Well, okay, they don't have them, but...
yeah, I must admit, I feel sorry for them.
But, like, okay, Paladins, for example, then, they have interesting talents.
Yes.
I know they didn't used to have, so hopefully we're going to go through an iteration and get sort of a revamp of the Druid trees. But the talent, the Paladin ones are really useful for all specs, whereas the Druid ones are crap. Dream of Cenarius, then, is the next one. It's the new one that replaces the old, infinitely worse, Master Shapeshifter. Dream of Cenarius basically lets your cast, so your Wrath, Starfire, Star Surge, and your melee abilities, not auto-attacks, melee abilities, increase the healing of your next healing spell by 30%. Woohoo. And then your non-instant casts of Nourish, Healing Touch, and Regrowth increase the damage of your next damaging spell or ability by 30%. Really not excited about this. It's absolutely a PvP talent, unless, again, you've got a clutch Tranquility to throw out. That's the only situation that I can see this being used in.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. Is it's something, as I was saying before, with the likes of Soul of the Forest, Nature, Swiftness, where you prime something. You need to whack out a bunch of AoE healing ASAP.
Yeah.
Run towards something like Zonoz or Last Phase. You're on the edge. You're kind of low on stuff. So you throw a Wrath at him, pop Swift Mend, and then channel a 50% hasted, 30% healing buffed Tranquility.
Yeah.
That sort of a thing. But again, that's situational based on a few particular spells. You're certainly not going to try and work this into a rotation.
No, absolutely not. And, like, I mean, as a Feral Druid, I'm not going to sit there and be interrupting my DPS rotation to pop an instant healing touch on someone because it's buffed by 30%. That's not my job. My job is to DPS if I'm Feral.
Yeah. The other thing as well is, it says here, buffing you, blah, 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 your next healing spells and damaging spells and abilities and such. That global cooldown and the mana that you've used for those abilities could just be used on another ability.
On another heal. You know, exactly. So
instead of using Wrath, I could just use Nourish instead, which is probably going to do more than 30% of a buffed healing touch anyway.
Exactly. So this is, again, why this tier is terrible. And then we have, again, the other talent on this tier, Disentanglement. So we're essentially specking for something that Druids have had, well, from launch until halfway through Wrath, except it now has a heal tied into it. So Disentanglement really jars against the other two talents on that tier, because they both make you better at your other roles, as bad as that is, whereas Disentanglement is just a thing to remove roots when you shapeshift. Woohoo.
Yeah, because it's not actually fully tied into the health, either, heal, because that's only once every 30 seconds.
No. So, basically, Disentanglement is going to be meh for everyone that doesn't PvP, apart from Guardian Druids, where it forces you to shapeshift every 30 seconds to get that 20% heal. So, Disentanglement... Okay, here are my... This is, like, my primary suggestion for these tiers at the moment, or these trees at the moment. You make Displacer Beast baseline, because with the 3-minute cooldown and without the dot wipe, it's not really an ability that's worth specking into. You then remove the heal from Disentanglement and move that to tier 1. So you've got all of your movement abilities based on that same tier. And that makes some really hard choices there. And then you nuke tier 6 and you actually give us something useful rather than something that makes me do something I don't want to do.
Yeah, because if you look through the others, I've really only looked obviously at the healer ones. I mean, with the exception of those poor Shaman, I don't want a talent that currently has nothing and is just called coming soon. Looking at what the others have, they are all much more useful. I mean, just glancing through the priest ones, I mean, the first one's not great. Heal the target through spells and effects, you're also healed for 20% of the amount. Nah, okay, fair enough, unless you're taking damage.
Well, it's like a passive binding heal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of.
But I mean, Void Shift, tank cooldown, obviously. Swap health percentage with current friendly target. When it ends, you're instantly healed for 25% of your health. And that's just a pure 3-minute tank cooldown that can be very useful. Vampiric Dominance. I mean, this one is just... I keep reading this to... because it's just a single sentence, but it just seems almost too good. When you deal damage or healing, 15% of the amount healed is healed up to the 3 low health nearby allies. So it's a smart heal. Every single time you heal, you do a 3-person smart AoE heal for 15% of the amount you've healed.
Yeah, incredibly powerful.
On every single heal. And as you were saying before, for the paladin ones, unlike us, they're not split into their different roles. They're not split based on their spec. No matter what you are, you get a different effect for the enemy or the ally.
Yeah, so like, if you look at their first ability, Holy Prism, 20-second cooldown, you can target on an enemy. You target this light beam on an enemy, causing them to take damage and radiate healing to your party members. And if you hit it, if you target it on an ally, so say the tank, they get healed and then they radiate holy damage. Similarly,
you've got
for
a tank taking,
you know,
a pack or adds or whatever, you heal the tank and they do damage.
And they do passive damage around them.
Yeah, or you've got an AoE phase where you're stacking on the boss, you attack the boss, and it heals your friends. Brilliant.
Yeah. So, similarly, for Light's Hammer, that's the second ability, it's like a 10-yard holy bomb, and it basically puts a little patch on the ground that heals allies and damages enemies.
That does have to be a typo, though. Allies in the area are healed for six
damage, but, you know, still. It's just like, I really don't think our tier 6 is going to stay as it is, because there have been so many complaints about it already. By the time we get into Mists, I'm going to absolutely tear it apart. It's just like,
there's going to be
there's
going to be a long queue of druids.
Yeah, so why, like, I just don't get why we have these talents that two of them make you better at roles you don't want to perform, and the other is a PvP movement ability.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
why they don't fit at all.
I know that druids are the quintessential multi-role class. You look at a paladin. I mean, fair enough. You look at three separate paladins. Right, the Rhett's the one with the two-handed hammer. Fine. Which one? The one that's got the mace and shield. Which is that? The other one that's got the mace and shield. Which is it? You don't know. You look at a druid though. Oh, it's a bear. Oh, it's a cat. Oh, it's a laser chicken. You know what they are. They're the epitome of the multi-role class. But that doesn't mean, though, that the people that pick to play them pick a resto druid because they want to DPS or they want to tank.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't think, oh, damn it, that fight would have been so much more fun if I'd spent a couple of minutes as tank as well. Because you don't think like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I'm in a five-man, I don't mind throwing out a Tranquility every now and then. But it's not something I particularly want to do on every pull. If I'm going through a five-man, I don't want to be sat out for 10% of it healing people. Or like 45 seconds of every boss throwing out heals and wroths. That's not why I'm there. I'm there to tank or I'm there to DPS.
If you wanted to heal, you'd be resto. If you wanted to stand there pew-pewing stuff with nature energy, you'd be boomkin. You wouldn't be feral.
And, like, making us better at these other combat roles, it's boring for us, and it's overpowered for everyone else, because it means that you've got DPS that can heal as well as a healer for X number of seconds, for 45 seconds every 6 minutes. And in addition, the mana regen is bad enough that we're not actually going to be able to sustain that healing. Like 2% of your maximum mana every 5 seconds. Well, Healing Touch alone is going to drain us in about 3 or 4 casts, and 2% of that mana back, not going to be sustainable. So it's just a crappy ability. They both are. Dream and Heart of the Wild are both really bad. Disentanglement, I'd like it to stay around in some shape or form, but I don't know. You know, as I was saying, like, either it moves to tier 1 and loses the heal. Or alternatively, if they want to keep the heal on it, I don't think they should because of what I mentioned about Guardian Druids. If they want to keep the heal on it, or if Feral Maneuverability proves to be too bad, having to choose between Disentanglement Charge and the movement speed, then they replace Renewal and they put Disentanglement there instead.
Yeah, they just need to work on it more. They've made some progress, but the level 90, the tier 6 talents, are just, they're so far behind everybody else's. I say, even looking at the paladin ones, as not because they're overpowered or anything, or especially excellent, but simply because the paladin is the only other class that's anything like as close to us with utility. And they can perform 3 out of the 4 roles. Nobody else can perform more than 2.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting when we see the monk ones as well.
Yeah.
But
it's the fact that the paladin ones, as we were saying before, you've got different abilities that clearly do different things. And they do different things depending on if you cast them on a friendly or an enemy, which is great, but they do that no matter what role you're in.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can work in, if you know there's a heavy AoE phase, as a tank, you can work in the... I can't remember what he's called now, I've closed the page. You can work in the light hammer one. I think that one is where... Not the light... The other one, the first one. So you hit the boss and heal a bunch of your melee's next to you.
Yeah.
Or whatever, if necessary. And things like that. And it doesn't matter what role you are doing. It isn't forcing a tank to actually become a healer. It's causing you to heal your friends with your abilities.
Yeah. So
it's something that you should be using normally anyway. It's not actually forcing you to do something you have not chosen to do. Whereas the druid two are, and that's the problem with them. They're forcing you out of what you've chosen.
Yeah. I think it's really important to note that the tier 6 abilities of every class, apart from druids, well, not every class, but for some classes, they change your playstyle entirely. So the new mage ones, they just came in this latest thing of the calculator. They completely change how mages gain mana and how they gain their damage buffs and things like that. Like invocation, it means that mages no longer passively regenerate any mana, but it gives you a damage buff when you finish an evocation cast, and it means your evocation has no cooldown. That's going to take a huge amount of getting used to, but it's quite fun. And the same with Rune of Power and Encounter Shield. They're fun, playstyle-changing abilities. Not role-changing, like the druid ones. Playstyle-changing. And like the rogue ones, your versatility, your redirect has no cooldown, so they can just move combo points freely between targets. And anticipation, it basically lets you have 10 combo points on a target. It lets you bank 5 combo points. So you can chain 2 5 combo point finishes. That's wicked. You know, it doesn't turn you into a rogue tank. It's not what you want to do as a rogue. You're there to DPS. That's why you made the character.
Yeah, if you wanted the option to do other things as well, you would have rolled a feral. If you wanted that sort of a style, but the ability to tank as well, you'd be feral, not a rogue.
Yeah. So it's stupid. Anyway, we've bitched about them enough. Tier 6 needs to go. If anyone from Blizzard is listening, it needs to be nuked. I haven't yet met a druid that enjoys those talents or thinks they're a mildly good idea.
No, I have a habit of being relatively optimistic about anything, and immediately as I saw them and thought, oh dear, I did immediately think, well, how could I use them? But truth be told, I don't want to.
Yeah,
I don't want
exactly.
to be forced to work out how best to use subpar mediocre talents.
Yeah.
I want some decent talents that are a decent choice. I don't want to be overpowered. I don't want them to be massive single target or AoE heals that can basically save the entire raid or anything like that. I just want them to be good and actually make you think about what is going to be best. I mean, the style, not necessarily the actual talents themselves, but the style of the way they've done the paladin talents. I think that's brilliant.
It's really cool.
It's just great.
Yeah.
Each one is clearly different to the others. Each one clearly is usable by any particular paladin, and each one clearly does different things depending on if you're using it on enemy or a friendly.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's just that is to me tweaking on healing, because as I say, they've clearly made a spelling error, a typo with the second one, and the third one doesn't actually have any description of how much it heals for or damages. But they're three clearly different things that have different uses depending on fights, depending on mechanics, and certainly the concepts behind those three are very well designed.
Yeah, certainly.
Now, I know everybody will just say, oh, Druid QQ about the way our talents are, but copy and paste those talents into another one like a paladin and change Heart of the Wild so that a rep paladin ends up gaining mitigation and damage reduction. And things like that, or you end up with a holy paladin, a prop paladin, where they start converting their strength into intellect, and it buffs their mana regen. And
I can't imagine a rep being. Yeah, exactly. I can't imagine a rep being happy with a talent that goes increases your armor by 120% when you have Righteous Fury active. Yay! You know, they're not going to care. They're not going to want an ability like that, and neither do druids.
Yeah.
And that's coming from a guy that's played a druid since launch. So
you always have to try and work that in every time we're talking about it. You always have to try and just point out the fact you've played a druid longer than I have.
anyway, one final little ability that I did notice, well, it hasn't changed, but it's just something I've only just come to, which is that Savage Roar has gone back to its Wrath era incarnation, where it increases all damage done by 30%. This is not something that I like, because it means that we're going to be gimped until we get Savage Roar up, so those first combo points are always going to have to go on Savage Roar. And it means in PvP that you're always going to have Savage Roar up at all times, and if you don't, then you're just doing 30% less damage. And if it's still dispellable, then a feral damage is going to get neutered by anyone that can remove an enrage. So
I seem to recall you saying this before. I'm sure you mentioned something about Savage Roar.
All right. Well, okay. Well, I'm reiterating it then. Savage Roar needs to go back to auto attack damage, please. Okay. I think I'm done about that in that case.
A couple of other things I wouldn't mind pointing out, just things that are actual changes rather than the talents things, which are looking quite good.
Mm-hmm.
We've already mentioned the cat form automatically increasing movement speed. Brilliant. Yep. Need to move faster. Great. Boom. Get out of the way. The remove corruption, as we already knew, it had already had the talent that we currently have rolled into it, so it's poison and curse and magic. But yep. Now it will then have an 8-second cooldown as well.
Yeah, this is quite interesting, actually.
So notes will be we'll be removed from repeated dispel duty because we can't do it.
Yeah, so all defensive dispels have now got an 8-second cooldown. So that's but they remove everything on a target. So it kind of makes the Affliction Warlock dispel protection thing a bit too overpowered, and I'm not sure that's going to stick around with this dispel change, the unstable affliction, because it means that a healer won't be able to avoid getting it.
Yeah.
Like if you hit dispel, then you're automatically going to get silenced.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that's going to stick around.
Yeah. There's also the change to innovate, which currently will give you 5% mana if cast on, so it gives them 5% mana if cast on somebody else, and you gain an additional 15% if you cast it on yourself. So if you cast it on someone else, they get 5, you cast it on you, you get 20%. What they've done is changed that so they're now both 10%. So if you cast it on someone else, they gain 10% mana. If you cast it on yourself, you gain an extra 10%, so you still get 20% of your mana. So it doesn't really affect casting it on yourself, but on another friendly, it gives them back double mana, basically, from how it was before. And then the other change is one that is going to affect every druid, because it's actually a change to our shiny new ability. Symbiosis.
I love this ability.
Yes.
So much.
Quick rundown of the rules. You select a party or raid member and cast Symbiosis on them. It's got a 6-second cooldown. Cannot be another druid.
And it's a 6-second cast as well. I mean, can't cast in combat.
Yeah. I mean, the target cannot be another druid. Okay, I'm sure this has to be put into cover something. Much the same as you now go to certain fast food chains and buy a hot drink that says, warning, this is hot. Really?
It's
I
idiot
need to be told that
ability.
I wouldn't cast this on another druid to gain a druid spell.
Yeah.
The target gains a buff that tells them what spell they've temporarily learned, and the spell appears in their spell book so they can drag it to the action bar. Brilliant. And your symbiosis button becomes the ability that you've gained. Now, they've added in a few more things about how it actually changes. If you change talent specializations, so there's no being resto, swapping it with a warlock and then switching from resto to feral to gain whatever spell you got as resto, which is fair enough, I suppose. And basically it's just it cancels the buff if you're too far apart, which again makes sense. So there's no gaining the buff and then going off and doing it in another instance where you don't actually have a druid, which makes sense. So you don't party up with a druid, gain an ability, and then kick the druid out the raid and go raid with whatever it is you've just gained. Like, oh, we need a rebirth. Can you log your druid for 5 minutes? I can nick your rebirth and then you can log off again.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Fails to cast if it's already active on the target. Fair enough. Can't be cast in combat. Again, fair enough. As you say, 6-second cast time. And the ability gained will always be something chosen to match the druid's specialization and the target's combat role. Again, we already kind of knew that. But what we do have now is some idea of what we'll actually be getting and what people will be gaining and giving out.
Yeah.
And so
this is pretty exciting, actually. So I'm only going to list the ones that I remember, but I know that Feral can steal Frostnova from a mage. Well, not steal, but borrow.
Borrow, yeah.
We have Frostnova from a mage, Play Dead / Feign Death from a hunter, which we had in the vanilla beta before hunters were actually a class. And we can get Soul Swap from a warlock, which is something that I've been asking for such a long time. So we can take our bleeds from a target, store them on ourselves, and then put them on a new target when it comes to time to switch, which will be really useful on things like, well, council fights like the Tron Council, or where you've got big elite adds that you need to swap to. Even on, for example, Morshok, where you have Morshok, you're DPSing him until 90%, and then he splits into two. So if you have to go onto the new ad, all of your dots and bleeds and so on aren't on there anymore. So you can take them off Morshok and put them onto his like twin. So that's pretty cool. And then like Guardians, I know get Frost Trap, I think, from hunters.
Ice Trap, yeah, Fear Ward, and Consecration.
Yeah,
the ones currently listed for them.
And then I know Balance can get Mirror Image, and Restoration can get Ice Block.
Yeah, we get Ice Block currently listed. We get Ice Block, Hand of Sacrifice, and Leap of Faith.
Yeah.
Oh, and, I'm gonna have so much fun with a certain priest in our group if I get Life Grip. I've got a lot of revenge to gain.
Oh yeah. Oh god, yes. Like, I might spec Restoration just to annoy our priests.
But yes, I mean, looking at what we give them as well, I mean, swapping, you know, a Resto Druid and a Holy Paladin will trade Hand of Sacrifice and Rebirth.
Yeah.
Which is useful.
Yeah. And like,
it
we'll
depends
give,
as well. As I think I've said this before. I can't remember if I said it on the blog or if it was actually in here. But it also depends exactly how they gain the spells. Do they gain the spell as you have it, or do they gain the baseline one? So if I have the Glyph of Rebirth, comes back 100% health and mana, do they gain it as the baseline ability, or do they gain it as my Glyph version?
I'd also carry on. Yeah,
I mean, again, things like reagents. We have the Glyph to remove the reagent. Are they going to have that and any spell that requires a reagent automatically if you have symbiosis? You don't need the reagent.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that regents are just going. In fact, they are going. Like, looking at Rebirth on the talent calculator, there's no regent listed. So, yeah, I'm going to say that they're just not going to be a part of Mists at all.
Yeah, I mean, they got rid of an awful lot of them at the end of Wrath, so it wouldn't surprise me if they got rid of these last few.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that aside, even so, I say, will the Holy Paladin gain a normal Rebirth, or will he gain my Glyph version? And likewise, for any other abilities that are traded. And fair enough, if there's an ability that says, when you use X, X is reduced in cooldown by 5 seconds or whatever, and you're obviously only gaining one of those abilities, then yes, it's going to make no difference to you because you don't have the second ability that's buffed by the first one. But for things like Rebirth, where it's the actual ability itself that's buffed, that would be quite important because, as it is at the moment, unless you've got another druid with a Glyphed Rebirth in your raid group, if you only have one druid with that, I mean, this is quite possible in 10 mans, less likely in 25, and you lose that druid, bam, you've lost the Rebirth straight away. Mm-hmm. And the second best thing you can have would be, you know, something like a Death Knight or whatever, which isn't great. Having that coverage and having two people with it without having to stack up on druids would be quite useful.
Yeah, well, definitely.
Oh, the druids died, quick, Rebirth the druid, bam, we're back up. Or whatever. Or if the druid, for whatever reason, is frozen in something or incapacitated, stunned, out of mat, anything at all. Just having that second option is useful. And likewise, things like Hand of Sacrifice. I mean, Ice Block, granted, is going to be a personal... Oh, crap, I pulled aggro. Ice Block. But it's interesting to see where we're going. It's nice that we're getting, by the looks of it, more in the way of utility utility abilities. We're not just gaining, oh, look, I've just traded it for Flash Heal. Woot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's important to note, is that a lot of things that we're getting, or virtually everything that we're getting, is actually a utility ability. There might be some that give a small DPS boost. So, like, for example, as I said, taking Soul Swap is going to be a lot more useful than taking Frostnova. And taking Mirror Images is going to be... Yeah, I guess it does. But and then taking Mirror Images is definitely going to be more useful than Chains of Ice, for example. However, the things that we're giving... So, like, we give warlocks rejuvenation. Well, meh. Kind of useful, because they sort of damage themselves because they're all emo, and a heal is going to help them. So it's going to help some classes more than it'll help others. Like, we give warriors, or DPS warriors at least, we give enrage, which is certainly going to help the... Shut up! We give DPS warriors enrage, which is certainly going to help the DPS more than what we give to a DPS shaman, which is Solar Beam. So, you know, I think there's going to be some sort of, like... Okay, druids, we want symbiosis on these players because we would rather have an extra solar beam or an extra rebirth or blah, you know, whatever. So, I think this is probably the ability that I've been most excited about in a long, long time. It opens up so very many playstyle options, and I really, really hope they'll get redirects from rogues. I pray.
Having pulled myself together, a normal service will now be resumed.
Sorry. I just had vision, warlock, emo, bam. Inappropriate jokes. Very funny.
Yep, it's looking like a good ability. I mean, we said this when we first learned about it and wrote about it, and yes, it's... As long as it's done well, it has definitely got the potential to be very useful. Even forgive them for not giving sort of new healing spells and stuff out properly. I mean, it's been a while, Wrath, I think, since we got a new healing spell. Efflorescence doesn't count, because that's not a healing spell. It was a talented ability that procced off another spell, so doesn't count. But I can forgive them for not giving us another healing spell with symbiosis if it's done properly. I mean, it's looking nice. Alright, anything else to say on any of the talent changes or ability changes?
No, I think I've done my bitching now.
Yeah, you were very restrained on the QQ.
I thought so.
I think given the state of parts of the talent tree at the moment, I think we were both very restrained.
I think so.
Right, so shout-outs and anything else? Have you got any shout-outs for anybody?
Nope.
No?
I hate all my guilds.
See, I'm not allowed to say that because I want them to turn up for my raid this week.
No, I'll just shout out to a generic Omen shout out and just say hi and let's continue raiding, and in this next week we're probably going to get a couple more heroic kills.
Yeah, well,
yay.
As terrible as it might be, if I don't end up getting my guild to try and do something properly, and if I can't get people to turn up, you might end up with a Tauren Resto Druid knocking at your door. Don't you pfft me. By the way, anybody that's listening, that's probably a joke. Make sure you turn up for the raid. Yeah, a general shout out to all my guildies in Peep Derple, and new guildies and old guildies and guildies we've not seen for a while, and everybody else. Nobody else has talked to me at all while we've been doing this, and I don't think anybody's talked to you or tweeted you or anything.
I've been refreshing Twitter, but apparently my Twitter's died, and no one is alive anymore anywhere else in the world, because since I posted something over an hour ago, no one else has tweeted at all. So, yeah.
Right, so that's it. No shout-outs then. So just quickly, how to reach us if anybody wants to get in touch. I'm Katanas on Chamber of Aspects EU Alliance side in the guild Peep Derple, and can be reached on Twitter as @RestoIsEpic or via the blog, restoisepic.com, obviously via the page here for the podcast, or by restoisepic@gmail.com. And if you really want to try and catch up with me on Skype as well, I'm available on Skype as RestoCat.
Okay, I can be reached in-game, Cantor of the Guild Omen on Emerald Dream EU. You can find me on Twitter at Shreddable. That's Shreddable spelt wrong though, because someone already has the proper address. So that's Shreddable.
So you're reachable on Twitter if they spell your name wrong.
What?
You're reachable on Twitter if they spell it wrong.
Yes. And, or you can reach me on Resto's Epic or the Ruffle Meow websites. Yeah, but probably the best way to get through me is Twitter or in-game.
Right, I think that's it. Any last, final words before we sign off?
Fix tier 6.
Yes. Any Blizzard people listening, fix our talents, please.
Yeah, they probably don't care because they'll go, look, we've worked out this percentage of druids have actually signed up for the annual pass. Screw them. They're paying anyway. Screw the druids. Right, until next time then.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for listening and all right. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.